I like clubhouses. There's something cozy and comforting and safe about having a place, a room, clubhouse, a fort, tree houses, and all those things that exist. And they exist, I think, because they offer the ones who are using them a feeling of, this is cool, I can finally relax. And in congregational life, okay, the sanctuary can become like that, but different rooms of the church, they've become that way. For some, it's here. For some, maybe it's the youth room. Maybe it's the kitchen. And sometimes the clubhouse or the fort is less a physical space and more a centering thought or a tradition, something that gives you peace and comfort. The places become sacred to us. They become sacred to groups and to individuals who are part of those places, whether they be physical places or places, just centering places. And in those places, we find community. We find goodness. We find safety. And it's wonderful because you get to go there and go, I'm home, or I'm in a safe, good place. But then sometimes those safe, good places become boundaries to keep others out from that place. And in that way, clubhouses can too often become less a safe and comfortable place and more exclusive places where the unwanted are never permitted. They become like a do not trespass area or a territory where no one without the proper credentials or password or power may enter. Treehouses and forts, sanctuaries, youth rooms, kitchens, and even traditions can become that too often. And see, clubhouses, they're good, and they shouldn't be the places where all one wants to do is keep the unwanted out. And in this morning's Bible reading, Jesus prayed for all of his disciples. All of them. And his prayer was not that they would all have their separate places and reasons to make others unwanted. No, that wasn't it. Jesus didn't pray that. He prayed for his disciples, he prayed for their protection, and he prayed for their unity. In John 17:21, that they may all be one. That's the motto of the United Church of Christ, our denomination, that they may all be one. Sometimes you wonder, what's become of that unity? Or have we ever achieved it? It's so much easier to disagree about things. We disagree about political candidates, right? We disagree about social issues. We disagree about worship settings. We disagree over and over and over again. And yet Jesus still has these words, let that they may all be one. This denomination that holds that motto, and this church, by virtue of being part of this denomination, holds these things dear. We believe in the UCC that it is called, we are called to be a united and uniting church, that they may all be one, from John 17:21. In essentials, unity, in non-essentials, diversity, in all things, charity. Heard that before? These UCC mottos survive because they touch core values deep within us. The UCC has no rigid formulation of doctrine or attachment to creeds or structures. Its overarching creed is love. UCC pastors and teachers are known for their commitment to excellence in theological preparation, interpretation of the scripture, and justice advocacy. Even so, love and unity in the midst of our diversity are our greatest assets. That line there. Love and unity in the midst of our diversity are our greatest assets. And knowing that, all people should be treated with decency and respect. And that just goes with it. And I know that we have wedge issues, and we decide what even the wedge issues are, but they make us so angry. They make us want to fight with each other. They make us want to fight outside of these walls. But we can be unified even when we have disagreements, because love and unity in the midst of our diversity are our greatest assets. And we may disagree about many, many things. We may disagree about what is essential and what is non-essential. But love and unity in the midst of our diversity are our greatest assets. And think of some of the things that we have as assets. The coolest new technology. Now, we don't have the coolest new technology, but we've got technology in this building. We've got a sound system that you can hear. We've got an electronic organ. We've added instrumentation. We've got all kinds of beautiful technology in this building, and it's wonderful, and we use that to help make things better. But the coolest technology is not among our greatest assets. Our traditions. Our traditions are sacred to us, and they are precious to us, the things that we do. And not everyone likes every single tradition, but we hold them dear, and we do them over and over again because they bring us comfort. And sometimes, yeah, the traditions get in the way of showing unity. But these traditions, as good as they are not among our greatest assets. The endowment for the church, it's not a small endowment, right? We've had that, and it grows, and we use the interest from that to do projects and building things. It's not enough to fund an entire parking lot all at once, unless the bid is really, really low, but we won't know any of that right now. And there's a lot of money in that, and we can find ways to use that money to better the congregation, to better our mission in the world. And it makes things better for us, but that endowment is not among our greatest assets. Our music is beautiful. We have lovely voices. We have lovely instruments playing. We have the Spirit moving through this building, through the music, and it brings a sense of, but our music is not among our greatest assets. Our scholarship fund that has been giving money to graduating seniors for several years, that we are still, of course, accepting donations to, because we're trying to make sure that we have enough to give full scholarships to anyone who applies this year who is granted that scholarship. But as much as may come in, as much as we may invest in the students who have been part of the life of our church and part of the life of service to the community, it's not among our greatest assets. This building that we take care of, this property that benefits us and so many people in the community, this beautiful setting, it's not among our greatest assets. Because love and unity in the midst of our diversity, those are our greatest assets. That's our ability to live out community, to live out love without having to agree on everything. So let's have a challenge. A challenge for this week. Spend some time listening to someone you disagree with. We do that all the time, but this time, go into the conversation or spend time listening without the agenda in your head of reloading to come back and say, well, here's what I think. We don't have to convince someone that they're wrong. We just have to listen. Spend some time listening. Be genuinely interested. And then after that person that you're listening to has talked about some really significant things, instead of bouncing back with, well, here's what I think, because in this challenge, what you think is not important. It really isn't. Listening is important. Instead of bouncing back with that, bounce back with, I love you, no matter what your opinion. We may disagree about the significant thing, but I love you. Then invite them to church if they don't come to church already. And after you've done that with one person, why not two? Or another and another. Same process. Same genuine love. Listen. Not to build an agreement. Listen to foster unity. John 17:21, that they may all be one. We are, and we can continue to be a loving congregation that lives out unity. We don't have to agree on everything at all, because love and unity in our diversity are our greatest assets. And it's by that love and unity, that love and that unity in the midst of our diversity, that we are guided. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your call in our lives. Thank you for opportunities to be a people of goodness and kindness and love. Help us to live out that love and unity in the midst of diversity, our greatest assets. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.